Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and I'm joined today by a special guest on the phone. Today I've got Rachel Cosgrove, who's the co-owner of Results Fitness in Southern California, and she's also the author of The Female Body Breakthrough, but more importantly for our purposes, she also happens to be a competitive triathlete and actually competes in quite a few different sports. So Rachel, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, James.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, you're best known for specializing in working in female fitness and you travel around the country talking about that, and you've got, you know, write for several magazines and stuff. But something that a lot of people don't know is that you do have quite a varied sports background. So why don't you just give us a quick rundown on some of the different sports and activities that you have participated and competed in over the years?
Sure, I actually got involved in triathlon probably, gosh, now it's been, it was like 2005, so it's been, you know, a little while now. I've been doing triathlon, and so I originally got into triathlon actually, just basically to complete an event for the fun of it, and of course with my competitive nature had to, you know, do the sprint distance and then move on to the Olympic distance and then tackled the Ironman distance triathlon. So and you know, as you know, triathlon, you know, everybody always thinks, you know, oh, you have to be a good swimmer or a good runner, but actually the bulk of every triathlon is the cycling part of the event. So that's really where most people can excel in triathlon, is if they do, you know, tackle that cycling aspect of the event, because it is where you spend the most hours when you're in, I mean, like in the Ironman, that's where you're going to end up, you know, spending the majority of your day is actually on your bike. So, throughout the last, you know, I've done multiple half Ironmans, coached a number of people. I'm USA triathlon certified, and have basically been working with different endurance athletes, runners, triathletes, to help them to, you know, develop strength training programs and then also, you know, smart training programs, so that it's not just about putting the miles in. And I think that's one of the things that I've seen as I've gotten to know endurance athletes, over that time, is that a lot of them are just, they think, just got to get the miles in, and that there's more to training than just putting the miles in.
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess kind of on the other end of the spectrum, you've actually competed in some powerlifting competitions, yeah?
I have, yes. I did a powerlifting competition, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. I love setting physical goals for myself and for my clients, and setting out to accomplish those. And really, to me, what's fascinating is, you know, how we can put demands on our body and, watch it adapt to those demands and, challenge it to do different things, whether it be complete an Ironman or do a powerlifting competition, which are really on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to, you know, what our bodies can do. I actually did the powerlifting competition shortly after my Ironman, which was just, for me, I wanted to, you know, switch gears and just focus on the strength aspect, of my physical abilities. And so that was my way of doing that. And so, you know, showing that you really can complete an Ironman and still maintain your strength and actually, you know, do a pretty good job and feel good. And the key is, I think, you know, with the strength training is, it helps me to stay injury free, but also, you know, having more power, being able to, every step, every stroke, every time you're pedaling that pedal, that you're stronger. And so, shortly after the Ironman, to be able to go and compete in a powerlifting competition was what I did. So nice. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, both ends of the spectrum.
Excellent. Yeah, I really like that that aspect, because it really kind of challenges the conventional belief of, you know, the endurance athlete, you know, not being able to utilize strength training and be strong and have it help them in their sport. So, you know, the fact that you are pretty darn strong, in any sense of the term, much less for an endurance athlete, what have you found to be some of the big things? You know, you've already mentioned the injury prevention and the increased, pedal stroke power and things like that. Is there anything else that you found to be helpful from your strength training with your endurance sports?
Yeah, well, I think you agree. It's, you know, for most endurance athletes, it's not the problem. The limiting factor is never cardiovascular. You know, it's never that they can't, that they're going to need the cardiovascular endurance or the cardiovascular fitness, they usually get that pretty fast. Usually, you know, when you're able to, you know, cycle, you know, for a period of time, whether it's, you know, 30 minutes, an hour, you have the cardiovascular ability to, you know, keep going. It's usually the, you know, structural ability that is what's going to give out. And so it's, you know, whether it's knees, ankles, you know, hips, you know, building that structural integrity and, you know, really just the fact that every time you push down on that pedal, if you are stronger, if at every joint, you know, your body has, you know, the strength that you think about, you know, every time that you are, whether you're pushing down on the pedal or pulling up on the pedal, you know, and basically using your leg, you know, with more strength, more power, more, you know, having that structural integrity that strength training will give you, you know, that's where every single time your leg goes around that pedal, you think about, you know, that it's more efficient. And so it's really about becoming more efficient on your bike, and that, you know, once you can, you know, you have the cardiovascular fitness, really the only way to really improve is going to be to make yourself more efficient at, you know, spinning the pedal or, you know, running or whatever it might be. And so, you know, instead of just, you know, thinking about that I need to do more and more and more and more, how can you actually get better at, you know, each, you know, breaking it down to, you know, each stroke of the pedal, each, you know, and how can you get more efficient and better at that? And one of the answers is to add some kind of strength training into your program. I think, you know, one of the biggest things is that I think most people think of strength training as bodybuilding, you know, big and bulky. We need to do biceps and, you know, bench. And because that's what, you know, over the years has been kind of the, you know, what people think of when they think of strength training. And so it's, you know, really coming up with a program that's developed specifically for, you know, somebody who is a mountain biker or who is an endurance athlete, that's written, you know, really with, you know, more unilateral exercises, using more, you know, getting their core stability in place, full body workouts, because, you know, they don't have a lot of time to spend isolating body parts, not that we would want to isolate body parts anyway. So, it, you know, it's really, it's a different type of program than the average endurance athlete thinks of when they think of a strength training bodybuilding type of program.
Okay, yeah, well, that, and that kind of touches on the next thing I wanted to ask you about, which is what your thought process is when you're designing a workout program for an endurance athlete. You know, what are some of the things that you look at them, and you know, what are some of the I guess like the evaluations, or kind of how do you go about, you know, structuring or creating a workout program for an endurance athlete?
Sure. Well, we always start with an evaluation. We take a look at the way they move, and we use what we call the functional movement screen. And really, it's looking at you know, seven basic movements. You know, can they lunge? Can they squat? Can they? Because basically, if you can't do these basic movements, you know, when you start, you know, getting onto a bike or heading out for a run, you know, you're going to end up, every movement you make, you're lacking something, you know, something that's not as efficient as it could be. So we want to look at the basic movements and see, you know, where is there a weakness, or where is there, you know, something that maybe you're compensating in one direction or another. You know, maybe we see that your knee's collapsing in. You know, it's a common one, is not being able to track the knee properly and really be able to engage the glutes, you know, your butt properly. And, you know, being able, a lot of endurance athletes, a lot of runners, you know, they don't use their butt and their hamstrings as much as they could, and so they're very quad dominant. And so really, you know, you see that in an evaluation during the FMS. You'll see that, you know, their knees might collapse in, or there might be, you know, different things that you'll see that will tell you, okay, this person, we need to go ahead and incorporate some exercises into their program that are going to engage their glutes. A lot of times also their core, you know, are things that we need to get switched on. Really, the goal of the program is to undo some of the things that the sport might be creating, which basically, if it is going to create any you know, any injuries, or because of the repetitiveness of endurance sports, you know, the goal of the strength training program is to, you know, basically help to undo some of that. So for instance, you know, if you're always going to be bent over, you know, hip flexors are going to get tight, you know, bent over in that position, then, you know, including something that is going to strengthen their upper back and, stretch out their hip flexors, actively stretch out their hip flexors. So, you know, thinking about how can we basically complement their sport rather than, I think some people make the mistake of thinking that during the strength training program, you want to try to mimic the movement of biking, but that's not necessarily, you know, if you're going to, like, to get better at biking, you need to go out and bike. So the goal is actually to complement that and to, you know, to give them movements that are going to challenge them in ways that that their cycling doesn't, so that they actually strengthen the areas of their body that are going to complement the movement on the bike. So if that makes sense, am I making sense?
Yeah, totally. It's actually something that I, you know, tell my riders is, you know, you're not a mountain biker, you're a human being that rides a mountain bike, and sometimes we lose sight of that. So it sounds like your basic strategy is to figure out where's the deficiency in the human being and the athlete, and then address those, as opposed to necessarily saying, well, here's a cyclist, and so I know these muscles are involved in cycling, and these are the muscles that I want to strengthen and address. Is that kind of it in a nutshell there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, basically, bottom line, if you're moving better, like you're saying, as a human being, you know, if your basic movements are more efficient and you are, and we can help you to move better, then whether you're moving on a bike or you're moving, you know, running, or you're moving in a swimming pool, or whatever moving you're doing, the more efficient it is, you know, the better you are at it, and, you know, the less likely you're going to be to get injured, but also the more power you're going to be able to put out. You know, that's the goal. And so, exactly, it's exactly that, just, you know, kind of taking it down to that basic, looking at the basic movements, and, you know, how do you move, you know, let alone on a bike, you know, just really, can you engage your core, can you engage your hips, you know, can, you know, do you have some tightness, you know, because you've been doing, you know, maybe a repetitive motion over and over again, is there a muscle, you know, we need to go ahead and stretch, you know, just looking at the different movements, and where do we need to focus the energy of the strength training program.
Excellent. Right on. So you've already mentioned a couple of areas, but in general, you know, obviously everybody's a little different, which is why you guys use the functional movement screen. And actually, you guys have quite a bit more in-depth evaluation that goes beyond just the functional movement screen. But what are some of the general areas that you found specifically in cyclists that tend to need strengthening or stretching or extra work?
Well, like I mentioned, you know, the hip flexors are an obvious one, because you are bent over with your hips in a flex position when you are cycling. The hip flexors, strengthening the upper back so that you do have that support, you know, when you are in that position on the bike. And then also, you know, figuring out how, like, teaching them how to engage their hamstrings and their glutes is a big one. We do use the foam roller. I mean, the foam roller should be every endurance athlete's best friend.
Yeah.
A lot. You know, that's something that we teach all of our clients how to use. All of our clients start off with the foam roller when they start their workout. They finish with it, and usually they take one home with them, so they have it in their living room to use every night. And for endurance athletes, it's especially important. I'd say, you know, the IT band, which is basically the band of fascia that runs along the side of the leg, is a common one that, you know, we have a lot of our endurance athletes. It's very, very painful, but very beneficial as they do it. It gets less painful, and something that can keep them from getting a knee injury. That's definitely an important aspect of it, is that foam rolling recovery part of it. We always say that, you know, you only get your results from your recovery. You don't get your results from your actual workout. And so, you know, that's part of, I think, the, a lot of endurance athletes have a mentality of more, 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 more. So, whether they're putting in the, just have our half Ironman or half marathon team just started training, and a few of the girls on the team are runners who are just joining our gym, and we're starting off with pretty low mileage, working on technique, working on form, working on moving efficiently, you know, so that every step they take, you know, they are doing what they need to do, and then also building up that strength so that they're fit enough to run, just like you want to get fit enough to mountain bike. You don't mountain bike to get fit. You get yourself ready, get yourself strong enough so that you can, go for a long period of time on a mountain bike. And So these women are, you know, I got to get the miles in, and you know, it's like, okay, we're going to do a 3 mile run. What? 3 miles? What's the point? What, you know, why even do that? Well, because you're going to be able to work on your speed. You're going to be able to work on your technique. You're going to, you know, so it's not necessarily always about piling miles upon miles, you know, and really looking at that recovery. And so, you know, giving our clients strategies to make sure they're recovering properly is a huge one, especially for endurance athletes.
Yeah, excellent. It actually touches on something I'd be curious to ask you about. When you actually program the endurance side of their program, I'm assuming, just knowing you and your and Alan's take on this, Alan Cosgrove, your husband there, on the endurance riding, like, you know, like you mentioned, like you'll send people out on a 3 mile run where most people will think, well, if I need to be running, you know, up to 12 miles, I should be out putting in like 15 to 20 mile runs in order to get me fitter to run, you know, 12 miles or stuff like that. So I guess kind of touch real quick on your thoughts, on actually, you know, on training for that endurance side of things. You know, do you like to have people do a lot of over distance training, or do you do more, you know, start with high quality, low volume and build up from there? Kind of what's your thought process on that?
Yeah, as you said it exactly right. We start with high quality, low volume. And so it's more, you know, how far can you go with really high quality, you know, keeping your technique, keeping your form, and, you know, really in your speed. Like if you have a certain goal that you want to, you know, hit when you do your race, then we need to make sure that the average of all of your workouts, your body is learning that speed, you know, so that you're not going out and doing, like you said, if you're going out and doing a 15 mile run, you're going to be a lot slower, and you know, you're probably not going to look as, you know, you're probably not going to have as good of running technique and running form, because you're going to be tired and you're going to, you know, start losing that. So you know, really we're all about doing less is more, you know. Really, it's about the recovery. It's about doing effective workouts. And every single workout should have a goal. You know, I think that's one thing that, you know, endurance athletes are guilty of, is they just kind of, you know, go out and do their ride or go out and do their run. And it's maybe the same ride they always do, or it's, you know, it's just kind of like go out and do it, you know, and they just get it done and that's it. And they don't really think about what's my goal for the workout, you know, and whether the goal is, okay, today I'm going to work on making sure that, you know, my technique is, you know, I'm engaging my glutes and really pulling with my hamstrings, and you know, that's what I'm going to really focus on today. Or maybe I'm going to focus on, you know, working on maybe it's going to be an interval training workout, and I'm really going to get, you know, get my heart rate up to a certain pace, and you know, make sure that I'm really pushing myself that way. But really, you know, thinking through that every workout has a specific goal in mind. And yes, absolutely, we start with lower volume, more efficient movement, and then as we add volume, making sure that movement is, you know, maintaining its efficiency, but then also you're maintaining your speed, and you're maintaining, you know, staying on track to hit the goal that you want to hit. But we always err on the side of, you know, less is more.
Excellent. Right on. Well, perfect. Well, I mean, that really does it. I mean, that kind of sums it up and answers a lot of really good questions. And, you know, like I mentioned to you, when we were talking before we started the interview, I know a lot of mountain bikers look to other sports like road cycling and triathlons and see what, you know, those athletes and coaches are doing to get ideas for their sport. So I was really glad to get you on the phone today and get the perspective of someone who's actively involved with, you know, with triathlons and other endurance sports and get their take on that. So, so yeah, I mean, I guess, unless you got any other words of wisdom for us, I guess we'll wrap it up at that.
No, that's great. It's awesome that you're out, you know, helping the endurance athletes. And I think I would just encourage anybody listening, you know, just to start thinking differently, and don't be afraid to go against the norm of what's, you know, what's been the norm in endurance. And, you know, I think, you know, it is the only way you are going to be able to, you know, excel, is to improve, you know, improve things that are outside of, you know, the normal thinking. And so, and, you know, along with following what James does, I think he's always on the cutting edge of and is the expert when it comes to training for mountain biking. So he always has the cutting edge information and knows what he's talking about. So definitely just, you know, don't be afraid to try something different.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate it. So if there's anybody listening here who is interested in contacting you, maybe they live in the Santa Clarita area or Southern California, and they were interested in contacting you guys about getting set up on a training program, what's the best way for people to find out more about Rachel Cosgrove and Results Fitness and get in contact with you guys?
They can check out the website results-fitness.com, and I also have my own website rachelcosgrove.com, so either of those places they can get more information. And love to get them on our newsletter list. If they're in the area, results-fitness.com, we can get them to come in for a trial membership. So
perfect. Yeah, strongly encourage. Anybody's in that area, definitely go check out what they're doing there. And well, great, Rachel. I guess that's about it. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. And I guess I'll let you get back to your day. And so cool. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Thank you very much, James.
Yeah, no problem. And once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com. And I'll talk to you guys in my next podcast.